Well, good morning, everyone. I hereby call to order the Palm Beach Metropolitan Planning Organization Governing Board meeting. Today is Thursday, June 15th, 2017. The time is 9:02 a.m. And our first order of business is our roll call.
Here.
Here.
Don Cox. Don Cox in place of Joni Brinkman.
Here.
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 Here. Here.
Scott Maxwell, Andrew.
Here.
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 Thank you very much. Will you all please rise while Mayor Wilson leads us in the prayer and the pledge?
Madam Chair and board members, I would like to invoke a moment of silence as we think of those GOP lawmakers and the staffers, as well as the law enforcement officers that wear the uniform to protect this country and our communities, and the public servants that represent our communities. Let's have a moment of silence for our invocation of prayer this morning. Thank you. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item is our agenda, and there is one modification, Nick.
Madam Chair, in the agendas on the dais, we are suggesting that you would add an information item. It would be our first information item to solicit additional feedback from the MPO board on renaming as part of our ongoing branding exercise, and that is why you have the voting clickers on your dais as well.
Moved as amended.
Second.
Motion by Weinroth, second by Burdick. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Next item is minutes. Members, before you have the minutes of May 18th, 2017. Any corrections or additions?
Move approval.
Second.
So I have a motion by James and a second by Berger. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Comments from the chair? The state MPOAC will be having its July meeting here locally at the Boca Raton Resort on July 19th. So if any of you want to come and see how the state MPO works, it's right down the street. It's going to be held in conjunction with the Floridians for Better Transportation, their summer camp, which is another great program. It's I believe they're reducing the rate for MPO members if you want to attend that. It's a multi-day conference there. So,
yeah, I'll make sure and provide information about it.
Yeah, provide that. It's they do it every summer, and it's really kind of an interesting thing. And it's a good collaboration between that organization and the MPOs. So it's at the Boca Resort, and it's Floridians for Better Transportation, and it's July 19th through the 21st. They call it their transportation summer camp. They do. But it's really a great program.
Yeah.
So, and that concludes my comments. Now we'll go to the executive director's report. Nick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A few leadership transitions to highlight. I mentioned last meeting that the DOT was selecting a new statewide secretary. They have done so. It was Mike Dew, the former chief of staff for the Department of Transportation, was selected by the governor to serve now as the DOT statewide secretary. And on the countywide level, on Tuesday evening, Mr. David Ricks was ratified by the county commission to serve as the next county engineer, replacing George Webb in that role. George has been there for several decades and has done a great job with the transportation system. And I think we're really looking forward to working with Mr. Ricks in his new capacity as county engineer, and want to mention his anticipated start date is July 17th. So we'll definitely try to have him come and introduce himself to the board at the July board meeting. We did conduct the requested road impact fee workshop, the collaborative workshop between city and county elected officials, as well as many of our staff members. That was held on May 30th. And I think the two things that I noted, want to make sure the full board is aware of, that came out of that discussion was, first, that if there is a desire to retain a countywide system, whether it's a road-based system or a transportation impact fee system, if it's to be countywide with modified zone boundaries or flexible multimodal uses, it needs to be directed by the county commission, that it's a county-mandated ordinance established by the county charter. And if there's a desire to change a countywide system, then the county commission needs to direct county staff to prepare those changes for their consideration at a future county commission meeting. I think it also is worth noting, so that the rest of the board that wasn't able to attend is aware, that there are two cities working in Palm Beach County right now to develop citywide mobility plans, and that they will be considering the adoption of citywide mobility fees, with an outstanding question regarding whether the payment of those fees will be a substitute for county road impact fee payments due by developers within those cities, or whether it will be a credit against the countywide road impact fees due for projects in those cities, or whether it will have to be in addition to. So I think those are the three options that a city mobility fee could introduce. It's either a replacement for a countywide fee, it's a credit against countywide fee payments, or it's another layer of fees. And I think that conversation is ongoing as well, so I wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of that. Couple of public meetings, very important ones. First, the 710 Beeline Highway project, the widening project from Northlake to Blue Heron. The DOT is going to be conducting a public workshop on June 28th to review the concept behind that widening. If the board recalls, this project had originally included an overpass at the Beeline Highway Northlake intersection. It no longer includes that overpass because the MPO expressed an opposition to that and removed that overpass from the MPO's adopted long-range transportation plan. The DOT is now proposing a connector road that would make the intersection at Northlake and Beeline operate more efficiently. That will be reviewed at the workshop, as well as the general scope of work to be accomplished by the widening. City of West Palm Beach, next item there is that the City of West Palm Beach has been conducting very aggressive outreach public meetings all week, looking at the Okeechobee Boulevard corridor between I-95 and Flagler Drive. They are going to be having a public presentation tonight, 5:30 at the County Convention Center, to summarize the ideas and the design concepts that have been received and sort of worked through all week long. We are continuing, the MPO is in the lead on a US 1 multimodal study. We're continuing work on that study, and we concluded our outreach activities in Boca Raton in May. We're going to be in Delray and Boynton Beach later this month, June 24th, 26th, 27th, 28th, for the Saturday workshop, and then our three-day charrette, a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Delray and Boynton. And then we're actually moving to Hypoluxa, Lantana, and Lake Worth in July to do that same routine. We conduct an all-day 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock-ish Saturday workshop, and then three working charrette days in each of the segments of US 1 that we're doing a multimodal corridor study for. And then lastly, I wanted to mention that MPO board training opportunity. We have a strategic plan objective that says we want to provide as many opportunities as possible to our MPO board members to learn about the innovative ways that other communities are handling transportation, both in our country and even around the world. And in this case, I'm mentioning that I'm going to be attending the Institute of Transportation Engineers. So it is an engineering conference, but it's a transportation conference, so it's not always boring. It is an Institute of Transportation conference that's going to be held in Toronto July 29th through August 2nd. Our budget does accommodate travel to an event like this by one of our board members. So if you're interested in attending that event, please do let me know, and we'll make arrangements for you to be reimbursed from the MPO's budget. So, Madam Chair, that does conclude my remarks this morning.
Thank you. Members, any comments or questions on Nick's report? Commissioner James.
Thank you, Madam President. Nick, quick question. Was it ever clarified as to the circumstances under which the actual county charter would have to be changed with respect to the impact fee issue?
Short answer is no. The charter authorizes collection of an impact fee to support the county road program. The county road program today contains both road widening projects, intersection improvements. It actually contains pathway projects, which are funded by gas tax revenues, not impact fees, but they're in the county's road program. It also contains traffic signalization, traffic control devices. It contains bridge replacements. So there's a broad scope of projects that are currently being funded in the county's road program. I think that, in point of fact, for that issue to become an urgent question to be answered, the county would need to decide they want flexibility, and then the legality of the path forward to establish that flexibility to collect a fee and spend the dollars on multimodal infrastructure improvements would be explored by their county legal staff. And it would resolve itself if they said we want change, but we really need that decision to happen on a countywide scale if there's to be a countywide fee that is more flexible than the way they currently administer their program.
Might their willingness to support change turn on how difficult that change will be to accomplish? So if they feel it's going to require charter change, they may be less inclined to move in that direction. So it's like a chicken and egg problem.
Sure.
Throwing it out there.
Sure.
Okay, all right.
It's not hard to send it to the voter.
Well, that's true. Commissioner Materio.
Thank you. One of the things that I've always been confused about is how the county actually calculates the impact fees and the usage of them. Is there a way that we can get some sort of a matrix, a spreadsheet, something that shows us specifically? I know it's been problematic with the city when a new developer comes in and they're buying, and they don't really have an answer to that question. That would be really helpful for us to be able to make decisions going into the future.
I would be happy to do my best to summarize the administration of the current program for the full board at a future meeting. It's, you know, it's slightly less complicated than filing your income taxes to establishing your obligations, your credits, and then your final payment due.
Or,
but we can do something like that.
Especially since we're engaged in that conversation right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Burdick.
I didn't want to talk about the impact fees in case there was somebody else that.
No. Oh, wait a minute. Commissioner Berger does want to talk about the impact piece.
Thank you. I would suggest that we use George Webb while we still have him, and perhaps he could come to the next MPO meeting, which would probably be his final meeting, I think.
Okay. And give us an explanation. Okay.
Or Eugene
Reed. Okay. Or bring whatever staff. Who's the administrator of the impact? The
Willie Swope.
Right. Oh, so. Yeah. Okay. That's a great suggestion. Is that it on impact fees? Mayor Burdick.
On the FDOT workshop for North Lake and the 710 and B-line, there were four flyovers. Could you know those four that we said that we didn't want any of them? There was the one at...
In our previous... You're referring to the previous version of our long-range plan. We did an update, a major update to the long-range plan in 2014 and removed six flyovers from that 25-year forecast. Four of them were on Okeechobee Boulevard. I'm going from memory, so if I don't get this exactly right, but I believe it was State Road 7, Jog Road, Military Trail, and Palm Beach Lakes. All four of those were removed from our long-range plan as desirable investments in the next 25 years.
Okay.
North Lake and Beeline was removed. State Road 7 and Forest Hill was removed. I believe it was those... I believe it was those six locations that had been identified as good ideas in the long-range plan, cost-feasible projects, not just good ideas, cost-feasible projects, meaning we believe we had the money to build them and would like to build them in the next 25 years. In the 2014 update, this MPO board said we don't think that building any of those six interchanges is the right way to invest in transportation at those sites.
Okay. Any further comments or questions of Nick? Nope. Seeing none, we'll move on. We have our consent agenda. It has one item. Is there any member that wants to pull it and discuss it? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
Motion by Berger, second by Burdick. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Thank you. We'll move to general public comments. Is there any member of the public that would like to address the governing board on any item that's not agended? or any transportation item in general. Seeing no one come forward, we'll move directly to our action items. Our first item is a long-range transportation plan update. Amendment. Nick.
Madam Chair, I am looking into the audience. There he is. I was going to say I'm introducing Scott Thurmond, and I believe, Scott, are you doing the presentation alone this morning? Okay, so Scott Thurmond with DOT is here to present this item to the MPO board for consideration.
Welcome, Scott.
Good morning. Up is on. Is this better?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Just bring it closer to you. Pull it closer to you.
You can also get pretty loud, too. Good morning. My name is Scott Thurmond. I'm the project manager from FDOT for the I-95 and North Lake Boulevard PD&E study. And we're going to talk to you a little bit about the project today. The project's location is about a half mile north of North Lake. It's about a half mile south. And it's on North Lake Boulevard from Military Trail to about Sunrise Drive. The real purpose of the project is to eliminate some of the exit ramp flowback onto I-95 that queues up to improve the intersection operations at the interchange of I-95 and North Lake and to maintain reliable travel times through the 2040 year. We also are looking to improve the mobility for pedestrians, bicyclists, and transit. And we want to improve the safety and reduce the crashes through this project as well. We've recently gotten a consensus through the local community speaking with the county and the city of Palm Beach Gardens to get into a little bit more of some of the overall concept details and really get buy-off and approval. We wanted to look at what we have as a recommended alternative one and get into some of those refinements that we wanted to talk about or that we did talk about in the past that we were looking to implement within the design itself. Some of that was to reduce the travel lanes within the project, to reduce some of that right-of-way requirements throughout the project, and also identify techniques to preserve some of the existing landscaping along the corridor of North Lake Boulevard, as well as also considering some high-emphasis pedestrian crosswalks, additional crosswalks at some of the intersections itself, as well as looking at something with a bike lane pavement marking that we can be used along the corridor for distinguishing those bike lanes. So what we have is really a recommended alternative at this point in time for alternative one, which is a modified concept from what we started with. On this concept, it looks to improve traffic operations and safety. It improves the it also provides adequate ramp distance so that the cars will not back up onto I-95. And one of the closures at Roan Lane will help to improve traffic flow, safety, and then access management throughout the corridor as well. And just in the next slide, no, same slide, but just kind of shows you the same movement. It's really just a little bit of widening along some of the same exact corridors that are there today, so it's not really changing a lot of the geometry throughout the project. The traffic flow through the year of 2040, we're shown to have pretty good level of service. This is pretty significant so that we make sure the improvements we make today will last throughout that 2040 year. As you might see on the right side of the slide, there's a little bit of a lower level of service, but that was taken in consideration and discussed collaboratively. The issue with this intersection is that it's a skewed intersection, so the travel movements throughout the intersection are a little off time, which kind of leads to a little bit more of an awkward delay or having to share some of the time throughout the intersection. But what we're seeing as far as the F movement, through our research, we realize that is a westbound movement in the PM time, and it's not really having a major effect on the interchange itself. In looking to improve that even further, we realized that there would be significant right-of-way impacts, and to further to the east, which we didn't want to impact to the property owners. We also looked at probably realigning the intersection and maybe changing that skew, but we realized that it wouldn't have a major effect to the improvement of that intersection as well. So we maximized the best that we could, and we realized that this is, again, an improvement for the 2040 traffic. So in the upcoming years, we will definitely see an improvement, but long term we may see a little degradation within this intersection. As far as the right-of-way acquisition, a lot of the alternatives have right-of-way acquisition. What we've done is work with the local community, the city, and also the county to see what we can do to reduce those impacts as much as possible. We expect to have minor right-of-way acquisition along North Lake Boulevard, and we also expect to have some acquisition along the southbound off-ramp of I-95. About six parcels look to be affected by the ramp widening. And in this slide, we're looking at the three different alternatives. Again, I'm going to really focus on alternative one because we really kind of refined our scope. We reduced some of the construction costs to about $29.1 million. The engineering design costs are estimated about $3 million. But what we've done with the right-of-way costs is we've reduced it down to about $19.1 million at this point in time. So it gives us a total cost for this project about $55 million. With alternative two and three, alternative two was a diverging diamond. We've had very significant right-of-way impacts. And again, the cost would be much, much higher. Alternative three was looking to improve the roadway with third-level ramps to North Lake, I-95 north and south. And that alternative also had a very large amount of right-of-way impacts, as well as cost to construction and long-term use. So as we move forward within the schedule of the PD&E, we'll be soon getting a design team on board looking to get the design started. But really, we're at the point where we're looking to hold our public meeting in the near future. I believe September 21st is our date that we're looking to have our public hearing. And then from there, we'll move into our design phase once we get our LDCA. And then design and construction is projected to start in 2018 for design, 2022 for construction. And today, we're here asking for everybody to adopt this LRTP. I wanted to note that these numbers are a little bit different than we have with our revised estimate from a couple slides ago. But this is what we have within our work program as of today. And it's fully funded throughout every phase. So that's what the significance of the LRTP is for today. And I got that's all. If there's any questions, please feel free to ask.
Questions? Yes, sir. Scott. How about you?
Thank you. That $19.1 million ROW acquisition cost, is that confined to those six properties?
No, sir. That's for the entire project. That's for the right-of-way along North Lake Boulevard, as well as the properties on the ramps as well.
Okay. And I haven't heard since the meeting we had back in, when did we have that, April? With the car dealerships along the north side of North Lake, on the east side of the...
Right. We've worked with the property owner itself, with the city and the county, to try and reduce as much right-of-way as possible.
We have speakers.
The design concepts we have in place today with Alternative 1 modified concept reduces any right-of-way needs pretty much all the way up to that intersection. There is some small corner clips that we might look to acquire just for ADA and possibly signal areas, but that's about it. So we've really worked very closely with both of the property owners and the city and the county to see what we can do to reduce that. And we've had a successful coordination effort.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Marino.
Scott, I'd like to say thank you to you and to Natalie from our Planning and Zoning Department. There were a lot of, at the workshops, there were a lot of people that were very unhappy with the designs two and three, just because of the impact. And it's important, and you've heard me say this before, it's important that we don't just look at it from a traffic standpoint, we really look at it from an economic standpoint, from what businesses are we putting out of business. And you know, if you're putting all these businesses out of business, there's not going to be a need to improve the traffic because there won't be traffic. So thank you for listening and adopting that. And Natalie, thank you so much for working so hard.
Absolutely. And again, this was a joint effort. I don't take all the credit by any means. It was a lot of coordination effort that went along from all sides. Thank you very much.
Further comments or questions on this item? Yes. Commissioner Chard.
In one of the early slides that the bike lanes were not protected by fences. I know it's kind of been a policy that historically. Is that possibly going to change, including on this interchange?
I don't see an opportunity necessarily for protected bike lanes. I know we were looking through our limited access facility to try and have a 7-foot buffered bike lane area. But in coordination with the county and also looking at the right-of-way impacts, we looked at to at least have provide a 4-foot bike lane. We had initially had a 7-foot bike lane, but that 7-foot directly impacted that right-of-way, even to the point of the 3 extra feet, which, you know, again, had its impacts as well. So I don't foresee a protected at this point in time. But it's something we can definitely look into and I think coordinate with the MPO to see how in future projects that might be able to be implemented.
I would think, I don't remember, I think it's all the more important when you had to reduce the 7 feet and that things like armadillos do classify as protected bike.
I wouldn't want to obligate ourselves at this point, but it's something we can look into. And we'll definitely give it a review.
Thank you. Nick wants to make a clarification.
And Scott, maybe if you could put up slide 7, go back just maybe 4 clicks. To your point, Commissioner, the technical advisory committee did make a recommended motion for you to consider at this MPO board that asks for incorporation of buffered or separated, that term the DOT likes to use, and it seems to be coming into vogue, I don't know, is separated, not protected, because they don't want to give too much of an illusion that an armadillo will actually stop the car from wandering into the bike lane, but it is a physically separated, meaning there's some sort of barrier there. So the technical committee asked for inclusion of buffered or separated bicycle facilities within the interchange area, and I want to make sure from this slide that you understand what that means. Within the interchange area is from the southbound ramps to the northbound ramps, those two intersections.
Just from here to here, under the bridge, because this is the area where they can be accommodated if the bridge allows, without buying land from all the properties outside of the interchange area and making the request for bike lanes into a request for right-of-way and property damages and economic impacts, which we were seeking to avoid.
So I just wanted to clarify that was a suggestion by your technical advisory committee to do what we can to incorporate that today so that in the future, if the corridor outside of the interchange area is able to reconfigure in some way, I don't know what way that would be, but in some way, if in the future that's able to reconfigure, the area under the bridge is done and ready to be compatible with that. So I feel like it was a very well-reached compromise to do as much as we can while minimizing adverse impacts associated with the project.
Mayor Burdick.
Thank you. Well, Scott, congratulations. I don't think it's very often that we sit here and say thank you for working with us on this project and dramatically changing it. So kudos to you. Thank you very much. And I hope all of the other intersection improvements that had that sort of idea of raising the level and of the ramps have the same successful outcome.
Thank you.
Any further board comments or discussion? I have 2 cards on this matter. Bruce Etheridge, followed by Rebecca Miller. Come on up. Please give us your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Bruce Etheridge.
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Bruce Etheridge, and I represent the Napleton Dealership Groups. I'm a partner with Mr. Napleton in the stores, and it's no secret that when the alternatives came out, it would have been devastating to our business, but I do want to thank Scott for working with us over the past year, as well as Bill from the engineering firm to minimize, if not completely eliminate, any problems that would have impacted our business, allowing us to save literally over 100 jobs. So I appreciate that. Commissioner Valachet, I thank you I know he was behind us and supported us. And additionally, as I look around the table, Commissioner James and Paul Ryan spoke with also. I thank them for their support. I think the other mayors and towns that we went on the roadshow with followed Scott everywhere, specifically the Palm Beach Gardens. Mayor Marino, thank you very much. You were wonderful. Carl was wonderful. I don't know if we could have done it without Natalie. She, unspoken hero back there, but she was very strong for us. But I thank them. I thank the mayor of Lake Park. Mm-hmm. I thank Mayor Jerry of West Palm Beach. Various people that I've spoken with, and I just want to thank everyone for working with us and FDOT working with us to reach a satisfactory conclusion.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. That's very kind of you to come forward and share that. Rebecca Miller.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rebecca Miller-Sparapka. I'm the owner's representative for the Napleton Group. My office is in 2101 Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Pierce, Florida, and I have another satellite office here down in West Palm Beach. I would like to thank you. It's a lovely thing to come before the board and say thank you, because so often, as many of you know, I appear before you and we have issues. In this case, it's a phenomenal conclusion. About a year and a half ago, Mr. Ed Napleton received a postcard in the mail to his home address that sat for a long, long time about a future expansion of FDOT. We proceeded to pull together a team, and quite literally, I think the Napleton Group has to be given a lot of credit on behalf of the entire North Lake Corridor. It is the largest landowner on the North Lake Corridor, and they had me, and I was able to bring on the merchant strategy and some other folks to assist me, but we really pushed the agenda of this entire and the focus of this entire expansion amongst the corridor. We created a charrette that was specifically for the corridor members. We hosted it. We planned it. We advised them of the upcoming charrettes that were occurring with FDOT. Then we met with Scott. In the beginning, it is going to be two or three. One wasn't even under consideration. Not even a consideration. Too bad. And it went from a beautiful working relationship where I think we haunted you a little bit and followed
not
you around
at all.
and drummed up awareness and brought all of the right people in the room. So again, thank you, Commissioner Valachet, for championing our cause, and we thank you very much, Mayor Marino, for helping us and assisting us in the entire commission, and Natalie Carlin, of course. So I just wanted to say this is one of those things that really is the best of public private partnership. And really pushing forward what best case scenario. And I want to thank Nick as well. Nick, you gave us a spot at the table, and we thank you for that. So altogether, this has been a really, really excellent outcome. So we thank you, and we look forward to seeing what's next. And we will follow you again. Thank you.
Well, great, Rebecca. We appreciate you taking the time to come and address the board. And collaboration is a wonderful thing. So, any further comments or discussion on this item? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Valachet, second by Burdick. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great work. We'll now move to our tip.
All right, Madam Chair, this is our five-year funding document for the MPO. It allocates dollars to projects based on the year that they're available and the year that those projects need them. I'm going to give you Andrew Euler, who is our senior planner and TIP coordinator with the MPO, to present an overview of the TIP document for your consideration this morning.
Welcome, Andrew.
Good morning, everyone. So this is going to be a quicker presentation than last month, where we provided the first reading of the TIP. So I just wanted to point out the schedule one more time for you all. Here you can see, I know it's a bit crowded, but you can see, follow me. Top of the chart here shows the months and year, and you can see each row dedicated to different TIPs. So right now we're operating under fiscal year 17 to 21, and then you saw the draft TIP last month in May, and you can see where the arrow is pointing. We are here for the final TIP adoption in June, and then we'll be operating under that fiscal year 18 through 22 TIP starting July 1st. And then just so you can see how this process really plays out, and this has happened through the past TIP and the one we are currently adopting today, or what's up for adoption, you can see fiscal year 19 through 23. And you can see all those steps that take place to gather projects and prioritize projects before we get to the actual adoption. So next month, going to priority list for July and 2017 for the 19 to 23 TIP, and then the DOT work program coming out in October. So just wanted to point out all those steps in the process. This is just a picture of our website, and this is palmbeachmto.org, and you can put /TIP, and that will bring you to this page. And on this page is what was linked in your packet, and you can see the executive summary there, which was in your packet, and then the full draft document for 18 through 22. And this is where the public would go to download, and you can also provide comments with those, that comment link there. I just want to point out, again, what type of products we have in the TIP. So this sort of just summarizes all the major sections. We have those that are prioritized by the MPO, so major MPO projects, the Local Initiatives Program, the Transportation Alternatives Program, and the Shared Use Network Trail Program, SunTrail. And then, of course, the FDOT priority projects, system capacity. And then we also have ones that don't fall under those categories, sections, airports, railroads, and seaports, and other FDOT and local projects. I just want to make a quick point about those other FDOT and local projects. So we reach out to all the cities and jurisdictions to provide their list of local projects. So county resurfacing projects, bridge projects, other projects that are just locally funded for the jurisdictions. And we try to include those for informational purposes in our TIP to have a full comprehensive list of projects throughout the county. And lastly, a good chunk of money is dedicated to operations and maintenance, the major maintenance projects, operation maintenance roadways, and then also transit. A few updates since last time we have met last month. So went through the committees and to you all, and we had some recommendations from the committees, one of them being a better way to show projects spatially. So we created a map series for by construction year, fiscal year 18 through 22, and I believe you all have in your packet the fiscal year 18 construction. But the executive summary and the full document has those out to 2022. Also, we added county fiscal year 18 resurfacing projects from the infrastructure surtax. There's other products that we'd like to add moving forward into that as well for informational purposes. We also use local road names and product descriptions where we found they could be utilized. So instead of going with just a state road name or a U.S. route, try to also put in those local road names to make it more understandable to you all, to staff as well, and also the public to understand the termini of a product better. And hopefully that map series will also do that for the public and you all and staff. And then one other update that we'd like to bring to your attention. We removed this project, 4370731. This is $352,000 in fiscal year 18 for a new rail siding south of Boca Raton Tri-West Station. So this was brought to our attention 3 days ago to be removed, since it's going to be removed from the FDOT work program. So it's not in the packet that was released to you all, but it's something we wanted to mention here.
Why is it being removed, and what was it for?
We figured you would get that question. So hopefully Nick has a better...
Okay. So we have... I'm going to unfortunately have to pass the buck. We have three members from the DOT district office in the back of the room. We received an email Tuesday at 5 o'clock saying... Please delete this project from your TIP. The DOT is working to delete it from its work program. They didn't tell us what it was or why it was being deleted. They just made that request. So we are being good partners and carrying that request forward for your consideration. If they have the ability to provide additional information on it, I would have to turn to them to tell us what it is and why it's not going forward.
All right. Who's the lucky member to come forward?
Good morning. Lisa Dykstra, FDOT, District 4, Transportation Planning Manager. We do our own internal review of the TIP to ensure that anything new, any changes, we can provide that input. Unfortunately, I don't have the details with me on this one, so I am going to have to go back and find out specifically on this project, so I apologize for not having that answer this morning.
Do we even know if DOT had run this by SFRTA staff?
I would assume yes, because our Office of Modal Development works very closely with SFRTA, so any funding changes or project changes, they're doing in coordination together. So.
Well, this is an active faith.
They're under strict instructions to run anything that has the name Boca Raton or Delray Beach or find me.
Interesting. Okay. I was never aware that there was a siding project south of the trial station in Boca Raton. So. Nobody knows. All right. Well,
Dick, what do you suggest? I mean, whatever the project is, I mean, we're running blind here.
Well, so the funding is in the draft TIP, the $350,000. You could adopt it with the funding in,
and take
request a presentation on why this project can't go forward. That's an approach. Or you could just take it out now and request an explanation after the fact.
No, I would defer to leave it in, and we can always pull it back out when we get the explanation as to what it is. So, okay. Andrew, are you concluded?
Oh, a few more slides.
Okay, a few more slides.
The last line does not apply. Other notable projects, other ones we wanted to mention. So I-95 at 45th and then I-95 at Southern Boulevard. Both of these are in the TIP. You can see the design fiscal year 2021 and right-of-way acquisition in fiscal year 22. And we wanted to bring this to the board's attention that although they are in the TIP, and these have been coming before you before, or are soon to come before you again in the future here, so the board will be given a future opportunity to vote on the recommended improvements, to either approve the projects, modify, or deny those two projects. And this is the last slide. So this is the status of major LRTP projects. So including the projects in here, these are the ones in our cost feasible plan for 2040. It goes out 25 years. And you can see the strategic intermodal system projects, the turnpike projects, the MPO projects, and the Palm Beach County capacity projects. So these are exactly from the TRP the LRTP document. And you can see the list of the projects there and their status completed, if they're funded in any of the phases in fiscal year 18 through 22, if they're not yet funded, and then if they've been removed. And this was one of the recommendations from our committees. This is to have a better way of understanding how are these projects progressing through our planning to actual implementation. And that's about it.
Questions or comments? Commissioner Waldron?
Yes, I have a request. As you know, the port, Palm Beach Port, is a CIS facility, and one of the reasons that we're such an efficient port is the on-rail access. And we're in desperate need of repair replacement for that, so we're seeking funding for that. So I just wanted to put that out there and see what the process would be to get that in there.
Sure. Madam Chair, if I could respond. I think Andrew's slide illustrating how we allocate funds earlier on is what was the key to questions about how do we find money for additional projects not yet in the TIP. The opportunity, the best opportunity the MPO has to request additional funding is next month's meeting, the July MPO board meeting, when the annual project priorities list is adopted by this board. That list is the list that says, please fund these additional initiatives that matter to us. Let me just stop there, and I'll say, let me follow up with you with additional questions on what you're seeking, and we'll figure out how to work together with you.
Okay, thank you.
Further comments or questions? Mr. Maxwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't believe I've had an opportunity to thank this board personally for your support for the Boutwell Road project in the city of Lake Worth. It is really important for our city in terms of economic development, and we we project that it will create thousands of jobs for our area, which is really, really important when you have double-digit unemployment and 30% poverty. That said, I get to come to these meetings as an alternate, so I don't always have the best flow of information at my fingertips. But I have a question, and that question really centers around the idea that in November you adopted this plan, and we were in your five-year plan on year five for fiscal year 21, Nick. And I, if I'm reading this document correct, it looks like we're now in fiscal 22. Is that correct?
The action in November, well, it was in December, actually. The MPO board received the draft DOT work program that allocated $3 million to the Boutwell Road project in fiscal year 22, which was the fifth year of the DOT's draft work program. What we're now doing is adopting the federal version of that program, the TIP. The content is largely identical. And so the funding for Boutwell Road in December in the DOT work program was in fiscal year 22. The funding in the MPO's TIP that's now before you is the $3 million allocated to that project. It's still in fiscal year 22. So there was no change in the time frame of the funding being available in that 5 years.
Thank you. And now I have a question. As you know, Tallahassee was not good to Palm Beach County this year. A lot of us come up a little short on our funding requests. Unfortunately, on this particular project, the City of Lake Worth, for the third year in a row, had our appropriations bill vetoed by the governor. That said, I'm wondering if there might be room for future discussion of this board to maybe moving our request for $3 million up a couple of years if there is any excess funds left over from projects that are becoming forward in the next year or two. If this board would entertain the idea that if funds would be available, that we somehow could, you know, move that from fiscal 22 to maybe fiscal 19 or whatever the case may be. You may or may not be aware, but we currently have several hundred thousand square feet of new development in the Boutwell Park of Commerce area. Unfortunately, we can't get trucks in there now because of, you know, some of the issues we've had with funding of getting the infrastructure for Boutwell Road. So we're kind of between a rock and a hard spot, and I guess I'm appealing, if you will, to this board to see if there might be room for a discussion should the funds be freed up from other projects to move that project up a couple of years.
Okay, so noted. Thank you very much. Mayor Burdick.
We've heard from the mayor.
Okay.
She's been a wonderful advocate. Can you go back to the slide with the I-95 interchanges? Okay, where should we start? I think both of them. I don't think anybody sitting here wants to see the flyovers or level change, the third or fourth level changes on our exit ramps. And both of these have right of way. I'm not familiar with so much with 45th Street and what the community is aware of over there, but I know the two cities on Southern Boulevard have been here before the MPO talking about the economic impact of their communities. They have very little commercial, which would be eliminated, and the two communities, one of them, the major revenue that they get is a sign,
mm-hmm.
and the flyover goes right in front of their sign. So do we have the ability to have the conversation now that the right-of-way dollars are going to be in the budget to say that we don't want it before FDOT goes further, or have meetings with the city with regards to the 45th Street?
Madam Chair, if I could. The funding that we're showing you is allocation of dollars over the next 5 years. So these are dollars in years 4 and 5 for these two projects. We highlighted these two projects specifically because we knew this board had expressed a great deal of interest in making sure they understood and supported the recommended improvements that would happen. We also understand, so the DOT has that programming in place, and they're asking for your support, and we are suggesting that you support this document at this point in time. We also understand that you want a more detailed presentation of what those proposed improvements will be at these two interchanges. They have agreed to make that detailed presentation to you at a future meeting so that you can interact with the details of both of these locations, and then you can choose whether you want to express support for them, express a desire for modifications to them, or express opposition to any of the alternatives that are being put forward for your consideration. Those presentations are, I'm expecting to have them next month. Now, we're filling up July very quickly, so this is a good opportunity for me to say, because we don't meet in August, please do budget 3 hours of your morning to spend with us in July, because we expect there to be a lot of agendaed items that will require some discussion by this board. They are going to come and they're going to share with you. And as far as Southern Boulevard, they did present the three alternatives that were being evaluated in the project development process. They heard the board's concerns with those alternatives, and they are coming. They have requested to come back and provide an update to this board next month so that they can show you what they will be recommending at the public hearing and get your feedback as a board. I believe that July may also include the 45th Street interchange, although I know that the DOT project team has been in meetings with the city of West Palm Beach as well as the town of Mangonia Park regarding that interchange project. And if those meetings have not progressed far enough by the July meeting, then we may push that to September. So
push the 45th Street.
Southern Boulevard is planned to be on the agenda in July. 45th Street will be July or maybe September.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Commissioner Materio.
So the way that I understand this is, even though at the, and I don't remember how many months ago it was, there was a, there were several of us on the commission that said, no, we're not in support of this. And there were residents in the audience of the communities, both the towns and the community that is on the east side of the exchange, that understood that that went away. But then there were the public meetings to talk about how this could be done. And that was a very confusing process. I'm not thinking that we're going to change that at this point in time on how that operates, but it was a confusing process because the people that were in the audience believed that it was a done, we're not going to talk about it right now at least, and then they were out and asked to give input to what it could be. I don't know about the county commission, but I know at the local level, I have had several meetings with some of these people. I want to make sure that there's an opportunity for them to see, hear, and talk about the process, not just what it could look like, because that makes it seem like it's moving forward. So I just want to make sure that as we make those presentations, that it is very clear that the public input piece is important, not just so that they get to speak, but I think it's more important than that. I believe the way that I understand it, and Nick, this is something I believe I get from our conversation, is that the public really makes a difference. And in this process specifically, for being able to hold this project back. Am I correct?
Absolutely, yes. Okay.
So are you saying that in the next, right now today, the next meeting, we're going to have we're going to be able to see physically what the ideas are for what it could look like. There'll be an opportunity for public comment. And at that point, what do we do if we've already approved the TIP?
Good question.
Okay.
Yeah, divert that money.
So I had a long discussion yesterday with the DOT's director of project development. So the DOT organizational structure, they have a director of operations and they have a director of development underneath their DOT district secretary. So Stacy Miller, many of you have met Stacy, is the director of development for the DOT. Any planned projects, everything up to and including construction, is under her side of the tent, and then they go to operations once things are built. She and I talked for about an hour on the phone yesterday about the appropriate role of the MPO when a project that has some level of public concern or opposition is being presented to you. I can't say that we reached consensus on the authority or role of the MPO. I think she would suggest that your input is to be considered by the department as they figure out what they will build on their roadways. I suggested to her that your input in approving the long-range plan and adopting the TIP is to be considered authoritative in supporting or not supporting the implementation of projects. So we're working on that. Who's in charge? We also expressed a desire for better coordination so that we have more projects like I-95 at Northlake, where we congratulate one another for working together and reaching a mutually agreeable solution. Southern Boulevard is busier than Northlake Boulevard, so we're positioning ourselves a little bit for a challenging conversation. I mean, Southern Boulevard is the busiest road in Palm Beach County that is not an interstate, and segments of it are busier than segments of the Turnpike. It is the busiest arterial we have. I-95 is the busiest interstate in Florida. Bar none, it's the heaviest traveled corridor for cars in the state of Florida, and it's the heaviest traveled corridor for cars in the county of Palm Beach. So, you know, we are at the intersection of two of our most critical facilities and trying to wrestle with the movement of freight, the movement of cars, the movement of people, the aesthetics, the environmental, the economics. It's going to be a hard conversation. She fully agrees that we should work collaboratively and try to find mutually agreeable outcomes. But if the project that is presented to you next month is not agreeable to you as a group, then if you expressed opposition to that project, I would be telling you your opposition is direction to me to bring back to you a long-range plan amendment that removes the project from the plan and a TIP amendment that removes the funding from the TIP. Those two actions would prevent the department from building that project.
But
we would rather get to agreement. I just want to keep that point in front of us because that was something she and I continued to emphasize on the phone yesterday. We would like to pursue mutually agreeable outcomes wherever we possibly can.
And I always think the collaboration is the best way to go. I'm 100% into that. But there are two things I would like this commission to consider when we get to that point. One is Napleton is a $1 billion-a-year business. They were able to really put some money behind getting everybody together. We don't have that on Southern Boulevard. We have a lot of small, little, disconnected municipalities, some that have an entire budget of probably the payroll for a month of Napleton. So I want everybody to be aware of the fact that this is a lot more cats to herd. And the other piece is, I think there's another conversation that we need to have here, and it's actually very ripe for the moment in time, and that is mass transit opportunity on Southern Boulevard, since it is, as you say, the most well-traveled road, and it enters into our zoo and a park, and there's so many different things about it. So I'd like to see us with the DOT have a more drilled-down conversation and really get this right, and I don't think it's going to happen in, you know, one meeting. But I really appreciate your working with us on it.
Okay. Great, great comments. Further comments or discussions on this matter? Seeing none at this time, I'll entertain a motion. Commissioner Abrams?
I move to adopt the TIP less the siding.
The rail siding.
Siding.
Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Pinto. Motion by Abrams, second by Pinto. Any further discussion? Commissioner James.
Yeah, I don't think it will come as no great surprise to this group that I will be opposing this measure because it continues to include the extension of State Road 7, which West Palm Beach is opposed.
So noted. All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
George?
I said
yes,
aye.
George?
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh.
George is voting no.
I have to vote. I just want to respond to Vice Mayor Maxwell. The
county's got a project that tends to bow well in our work program, independent, whatever your relationship is with the governor and the state or whatever, or what relationship, whatever. So, but our project is going to move forward to the intersection improvement.
Understood. Thanks, George.
Thank you, George.
And, Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
With your permission, George.
George.
With your permission, Madam Mayor, I just found out a few minutes ago that this is Mr. Webb's last meeting with us.
Aww.
He will not. No, he is willing to. Yes, but you said you are not going to be here. He will put an impact fee group together to come next month, but he will be flying to Columbus, Ohio for National Association of Counties conference, his last one. And you do not have an August meeting, so therefore this is Mr. Webb's last meeting with us. And after years and years and years of circulating and standing in the back of the room for MPO meetings, I really think that he deserves our thanks for all the work that he's done for all the years that he's been with us.
Great. Thank you.
And we still have your cell number.
We do.
And even my replacement, who would start that week, is also going to the same conference.
All right. Well, we're going to miss you, but we understand. Thank you. Thank you. You've been a great partner, George. All right. That concludes. Now we're going to move to our information items. And our first item is our add-on, and we're going to be talking about our MPO branding and our naming considerations. So everybody warm up their clicker.
All right, Madam Chair, I'm going to do the presentation from this side of the table. So we have executed a contract for consultant support in rebranding the MPO. The first step for input in that rebranding exercise is whether we retain the name Palm Beach MPO or whether we consider an alternative naming and tagline combination. And so we're actually going to be talking to you about both the name of the organization as well as the potential tagline to support and further explain that name. So we talked about all the different things that a brand is, and one of the key points is brand is name. And the desire in a name is that the name would hit some or all of these components, that it would be memorable, that it would be suggestive, that it would be emotive, descriptive, meaningful, or aspirational. Now, you can't hit all of those targets with a few letters put together in various orders, but you can do some of them, and we have some suggestions to you that we think have addressed several of these objectives. For context, we want to remind you that the name and tagline for the agency can support its mission. The MPO's mission was established as part of our strategic plan effort in 2016, and that is to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund transportation. So it's just a reminder to all of us here that that's why this MPO exists, that we plan, prioritize, and fund transportation, and we do so collaboratively. We do it as a group working together. And then the vision, the name and tagline can support the vision. The vision of the MPO, again, established it last year as part of our strategic plan effort, is a safe, efficient, connected, multimodal transportation system. It's a transportation system described by four key adjectives: safe, efficient, connected, and multimodal. So I wanted to give you those two reminders, sort of setting the context for the discussion. And then I also had a couple of board members ask me for examples of what are other MPOs naming themselves around the nation. As background, there are 405 MPOs in the country as well as U.S. territories. I think Puerto Rico is an interesting example. They're actually formed as an MPO for the entire island. 405 of them. The Palm Beach MPO by population is the 39th largest MPO in the country. MPOs across the country are naming themselves diversely, if I can use that adjective. There's an array of options. Starting with the traditional, the Capital Area MPO, which is an example of an MPO in Austin, Texas, that has used its name and acronym as its branding. So they're CAMPO. They go by CAMPO. They just included MPO, and they have a vowel in their name, and so that works. Then there's the conversion from an MPO to a TPO. Several of our Florida MPOs have done that, and I'm highlighting for you that the Miami-Dade Transportation Planning Organization, or TPO, has recently rebranded itself as such, and also the Jacksonville area is the North Florida TPO. Some MPOs call themselves a commission. The Atlanta Regional Commission goes by ARC. Again, they are blessed with a vowel in their geography, so that name sort of flows. And then the slightly less attractive but also acronym named Columbus, Ohio MPO, a friend of mine, actually a colleague of mine from high school, is the director for the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, or MORPC, as they're commonly known. The second largest MPO in the nation is the New York Metropolitan Transportation Council, or NYMTC. They are a council. Chicago, third largest, is the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. They go locally by CMAP. The largest MPO in the country is the Los Angeles, California MPO, only larger than New York because it encompasses a larger geographic area. The MPOs in New York are smaller and more segregated. So Los Angeles MPO area goes by Southern California Association of Governments, or locally SCAG. And then there are a handful of MPOs that have decided to express themselves with more creative names. The Orlando MPO covers Orange County, Seminole County, and Osceola County. Thank you, I just blanked out. MetroPlan Orlando is the metropolitan planning organization for the Orlando area. The Portland MPO has just gone with Portland Metro, and in their branding, they've really become in their region just Metro. So, hey, we are Metro. We are the agency that does transportation planning for your region. And then Pinellas, St. Petersburg has actually opted for a more forward-looking creative name, and they actually just call themselves Forward Pinellas now. So MPOs, TPOs, commission or council, agency or association, and then a creative option. I give you that context because we have options available for you on the next slide where you get to provide input, and they fall into each of those different categories. So here we are. We are going to ask you for input on your top three preferred naming options for this organization. The first four all have Palm Beach in their as the prefix, so they would be the Palm Beach MPO, the Palm Beach TPO, moving slightly towards transportation planning, giving us a little bit more of a branded or understandable context, the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Commission, or Palm Beach TPC, the Palm Beach Metropolitan Transportation Agency, so now we're moving commission, then to agency, the Palm Beach Metropolitan Transportation Agency, and then our creative option, Envision Palm Beach.
Madam Chairman, what's the thinking behind Envision Palm Beach? What am I supposed to emote for that?
Hey, so if you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it.
But I'm thinking, am I missing? I mean, is there some kind of little play on words there that I'm missing?
I'll tell you, we looked at a variety of potential creative words to combine with Palm Beach, and this one won out over the conversation. I'll remind you that brand is subjective, and it does indeed mean different things to different people. I think when we were talking briefly, I was talking with Robert at one of our subcommittee meetings this week, and he liked the EV highlighted because he likes electric vehicles. Now, will everyone jump to that conclusion? No, of course not. But Envision, I think, it carries with it a sense of action, engagement. Let's look together on what we could become, and let's always look forward. We're always funding things that don't exist today or don't yet exist.
I get the vision part. Yeah. I was wondering what the significance of vision means.
Sure. So envision, I think, is the verb form of the noun, and it says let's envision together. Let's work collaboratively.
It doesn't say anything.
Not getting your vote.
Nothing about right mobility or transportation or connectivity or safe.
And so, right. So, so the naming context.
Envision.
We wanted to start with the names, and then depending on which name you prefer, there will be taglines proposed that would give further clarification and context. And I'll say. So this is part of the discussion we want to have, and we're going to show you the potential combinations on the next slide with the taglines that would associate with the names. We didn't want to confuse the conversation too much, but we recognize that if you go with Envision, you would need to provide additional clarification in your tagline, and they would be linked inseparably. Whereas if you're MTC or TPC or MTA, so it's sure. And I think the discussion is acknowledging that this is a difficult exercise. So,
just curious. Yes, thank you, options B, C, and D aren't a whole lot different than option A, which would be to stay the same. So, what is the cost to change everything? I mean, you've got to change your letterhead, you've got to change the website, you do advertising. I mean, do we have a cost to associated with just slightly modifying what we already have if we were to go with B, C, or D?
And along with that, what you lose as far as people remembering, along with that. You know what I mean? If
I
they
think
see
we
it.
All know we need to update our logo. Our logo is pretty sad. So, I mean, we're going to have to move forward. Even if we didn't change our name, I think there's consensus to fix that logo.
So you don't want the recognition that you think we've built?
I don't know. I don't think there is.
I'm asking.
That's why we're having the conversation.
I don't think a lot of people really know what MPO does.
Yeah, we don't have any recognition there.
We're not losing anything.
Involved. I mean,
but I don't know that they're going to know what TPO or TPC or MTA do either.
Transportation.
Yeah, but at least they get the word connection.
So that's the goal there is to put transportation in our title.
Yeah.
Just wondering how much it costs to hire the consultant to do all these name ideas, and I'd rather give that money to Boutwell.
And I have another question about that. As we think about changing organization, commission, agency, what do those words actually? What are we most like out of those three words? Are we an agency? I mean, when you say agency, it sounds like a government function.
CIA,
there you go. That's what I'm asking. What is the association that you get different from organization, commission, and agency in your mind?
I would go back to my response to Commissioner Abrams and say that it is somewhat subjective. Unfortunately, the definition of those terms and their employment in various agencies of government or levels of government is diverse. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council, for example, but there are also village councils in Palm Beach County. Mm-hmm. Regional Planning Council is an appointed body. Village councils are elected bodies. There is a county commission of elected officials who represent the county districts that they're elected from. But there are also commissions that operate as appointed bodies. The Florida Transportation Commissioners are appointed by the governor. So it's very difficult. It was hard to figure out exactly which of these definitional terms were most appropriate for us, and that's why we wanted it to be input.
I'm trying to think of an acronym that...
Good one.
We don't have enough vowels.
And Madam Chair, as guidance on the voting itself, we are asking you to select your three favorite. The way to use your clickers is to first pick your favorite item, then your second favorite, and then your third favorite. Your first selection will get 5 points. Your third gets 3 points. Your second gets 3 points. Your third gets 1 point. So make sure you do them in that order: favorite, second favorite, third favorite. If for some reason you push the wrong button, just do it again. First, second, third, it will clear out anything you've entered prior to that.
Just press the button.
And hold it so it comes up.
The bullet vote?
We know who votes. We know these are attached to
you. Pick all of them.
There's nothing secret about it.
Madam Chair, we know if you've responded, but we don't know if you've entered all three of your responses. So I'm sort of looking for, does anyone need additional time, or are we ready to advance?
I think we're ready.
All right.
The survey says.
I'm like the one person who didn't like that.
All right. Any discussion on the outcomes?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, even is a non-starter.
too confusing.
All right.
The transportation planning agency. I mean, that's serious, Madam Chair. I mean, you know, take each word separately. Yeah. I mean, I think what that shows is that most people around want transportation as the first word.
Right.
I don't know that that necessarily means that everybody wants commission. You could do trans, which has more syllables and more, you know, you could be transportation planning agency, and that was not one of the choices. That would be a simpler title.
Well, that's why we're brainstorming here, so we can be collaborative.
I like that. I like TDA.
Yeah, the people pick D because they like agency.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
But, well, you could do a matrix of those.
Anyway, I propose transportation planning agency.
Can we vote?
That's,
does that get an A?
You have like a screwdriver. We can undo
this one.
But I liked metropolitan being
you
in
like
there. I did because it sounds kind of different.
It sounds current.
It sounds like
Metro.
New York.
Yeah,
it sounds like New York.
Yeah. Well, you could do Metro.
And usually I just agree.
I'm trying to get it small.
It's an MTA in Boston.
Yeah.
Yes.
Charlie's on.
Yeah, he never returned.
Right. Oh,
yeah, you're the sandwich.
But, you know, if you don't, I like the planning word in there because we plan. Transportation, for some people, might indicate we do buses and tri-rail and, right.
Well, why not use the word mobility instead of transportation, since that's the new thing.
I think people get confused.
It sounds like we're going to pick you up in a car.
Madam Chair, if there's a desire for us to do a runoff between TPC or TPA, we could certainly create that on the fly and give you the opportunity.
I like that.
If you want us, would you like us to do that?
Sure, let's do it. Let's get it over
with. Yeah, I mean, TPA is at the airport, too, right? TPA is Tampa Airport.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
A bad thing.
Oh, we would have to put PB in front of it. Yeah.
Have to be PBTP.
Yeah.
That would be PBTP.
We don't want to be the airport.
Okay, say that three times fast.
Yeah, really?
He said the Tampa.
Oh, so you're withdrawing TPA?
No, that's a good point, but maybe not a great point. I mean, it's all right. We could probably live with it.
This was the best of what he presented.
From the consultant? Envision.
Well, and sometimes
they got like what one vote there.
Look how collaborative we are.
So where do we stand?
We're having a runoff.
Oh, they're making up one so we can vote.
So wait, what are we doing?
Making a ride.
We're doing a runoff.
Having a recess.
Oh, okay.
TPA was riding.
We need an English major to come up with.
Yeah, we have a writing. Candidate.
They tried with Envision, and we didn't go with it.
Access your thesaurus.
Yeah. It crashed and burned. Yeah.
This is what my husband's really good at.
Well, I mean, that's how PalmTran got named. I mean, we always try to put Palm Beach, discover the Palm Beaches, I mean, and so PalmTran was a clever name, but we can't. It's our use.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Let's
see. You can take it away.
We do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Government give it. The government.
Quotes right now. Sorry, we just changed your name.
Yeah, but right. It's not like coach was so bogus. I mean, pop is much better than.
All right, vote. You want us to vote for one?
The voting. The polls are open once again.
I really don't.
Just vote for one.
Right. You put Palm Beach County Transportation.
All right. Are we ready?
Transit. You could do
Grand Unveil.
The winner is.
The aging
guy. Yes. Now, how about instead of transportation, transit?
All right. We're moving on to taglines now.
Shorter.
Transit, but that's.
Shorter.
Transit doesn't
add up to 100.
Oh, transit is transit. Okay. Got it. I got it.
Okay. On the tagline.
I forgot it's really transit. It has a meaning of its own.
We had, and I guess what we're suggesting now is this Palm Beach TPC would be Palm Beach TPA.
Okay.
Now, we have name reminders over here. You're not voting on the names. You're voting on the taglines. This is like a suggested wine pairing list for your dessert. So don't feel compelled to select the one tagline across from the name that it's listed with. We just wanted to give you a context for each of these. In this case, again, you can vote for three. So you can select your favorite, your second, and your third favorite. And the polls are open. I'm just going to let you read and vote as you choose. Would anyone like more time? So we're going to take this feedback, and I think what we've heard is
TPA.
It would be the Palm Beach TPA connecting communities.
Yes. Okay, that's good. That's clean. That's good. I like
all right.
It.
Print good. It. That's good.
All right. Let's all make right. sure the letters all work together. If they don't spell something bad.
Sometimes it helps not to spell.
Thanks for all that fun.
Well, thanks everybody for.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all. Next time we'll start struggling with the logo, which will be interesting. So, all right. Does that conclude our branding? All right. Let's move on to MPO Governance Committee update. Commissioner Abrams.
The Governance Committee met on June 12th. Our mission, as we all recall, was to review the existing agreement for services with the county and make recommendations to renew it, modify it, or terminate it. The committee heard an informative presentation from the chairman, vice chairman, and executive director of the Broward MPO, which is an independent agency. They explained why they switched to an independent agency and the pros and cons they have experienced. We let them brag for a little bit on what they're doing down in Broward County. They need all the opportunities to brag they can get. They provided the committee with some information on some of their practices that we felt our board should consider regardless of the status of our agency. So then our committee engaged in a lengthy discussion along the following lines. First, determining what exactly the challenges are that MPO is facing that we seek to resolve both administratively and from a programming standpoint. And secondly, to identify then the best vehicle to address these issues that would gain the support of MPO members. We did not reach a conclusion, but we had a lengthy discussion and instead determined that we required some additional information, particularly more detail about the financial costs of going independent. There are also other possible approaches short of going independent that the agency could take, and we are going to explore those further as well. Nick will provide the committee with the requested additional information, and then we will meet again for further discussions. Are there any questions? Yes.
Commissioner Weinroth.
Thank you. Did you address the fundamental issue of how you finance the initial operations of an independent MPO?
Yes, and that was one of the biggest hurdles that Broward had was overcoming some initial cash flow issues. So that we didn't resolve anything, but that certainly is one of our foremost considerations.
And do they tell you how they handled it?
Yeah. Oh, it's too complicated.
Okay.
We'll give you the Cliff Note version later.
With a letter of credit, or
yeah,
with a line of credit.
The Broward MPO has an interlocal agreement with the city of Fort Lauderdale where they borrow money from the city in order to expend those dollars and then reimburse them from their grants. So it's a line of credit with one of their members, and that's the only content of that relationship. It's just the line of credit.
But initially they did with SFRDA.
Right. They had initially done that when they first became independent. They used the RTA as their host the provider of financing. Now they've moved to using the city of Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mayor Marino?
Well, I'd like to throw out there the line of credit, maybe instead of having one master, the line of credit might be spread out over the 10 largest cities in the county, equal amounts, and there is no master.
Well, right. I mean, the Broward MPO, it was really a mechanism. I mean, the host, I guess, Fort Lauderdale, didn't really have any authority over them, and it was spelled out in the interlocal agreement. They were just using it as a pass-through in order to finance the building.
Just, I mean, from the size standpoint, it might be easier if you spread it out as opposed to asking once.
It's just a float until we get our federal dollars. Okay.
But thank you.
You're on the committee, right? Yeah. But you can discuss this.
Commissioner Materio.
When we do bring this, we'll have another meeting, and when we do bring this back, will we have a more robust conversation among ourselves? I found the conversation that we had very interesting. We were really we pulled back a lot of layers, and it helped, I think, to alleviate some of the fears and actually show us some of the really positive pieces, which I think we've had trouble identifying. So I just want to make sure when we do come back, because we'll meet as a group, right? We'll meet as a group again. We'll drill down a little further, and then we'll bring all that information here. Is that how we're going to do this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I at that, in our next meeting, let's also talk about whether or not we want to have anybody from either Broward or Orlando come and speak to this group as a whole, because we can't really answer some of their intimate business questions because they had to work through it, and we didn't.
Right. I mean, but that really is the, as I understand it, what our function is to get in some of the technical
Fair
details.
Enough. Right.
Okay. Good. Good. Well, thank you. Thank you for doing. Oh, Commissioner Chard.
How long have they been independent, and have they had any consideration of going back?
Their status, and when did they go independent?
It's been about
2007 or 8 or something.
Yeah, 10 years.
Right, for about 10 years. And they had different reasons than we did. They had a very tense relationship with the municipalities of the city, and the county did not have a smooth relationship, and that's one reason they went independent. Unlike us, I hope.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you all for serving on that, and we look forward to your report at our next meeting. Thank you. All right. We'll now move to the long-range transportation plan major update. Nick.
Madam Chair, I'm going to bring Kevin Fisher up. He's going to walk through just some highlights for every 5 years we need to do this major update, how we're approaching it in this cycle, and get just make you aware of it and give you opportunity for feedback, suggestions, et cetera.
Good morning. And I want to apologize. My presentation will not be as fun as Nick's. So.
We'll still vote on it.
Thank you. So as you all know, every 5 years, the long-range transportation plan needs to be updated and adopted. The current plan, 2040 LRTP, was adopted in October of 2014. So the deadline we're operating under is an adoption in October of 2019. Just a little background on that. A few slides would like to highlight some of what we're looking at for new ideas with the 2045 long-range transportation plan. First one I wanted to highlight was really putting an emphasis on emerging technologies. I think, you know, we have lots of discussions on autonomous vehicles, on-demand travel services. In a lot of ways, we're on that cusp, but it's a challenging period because some experts will say in 5 years a significant share of the automobile fleets will be autonomous. Others are a little less aggressive in those time frames, but we really want to use this plan as an opportunity to see what effects we think that could have on our roads, and also start looking at case studies. If we do find we have significant extra asphalt on corridors, how can we look at retrofitting that extra lanage that we may see? Second one is scenario planning, and this would be a two-pronged approach. One, looking at different land use scenarios, which is typically what you associate with scenario planning, but also looking at different funding sources. So are there funding opportunities we may not have considered, and also are there policy shifts that could modify the way funds can be expended upon? operations and maintenance is always a tricky one. There's a lot of funding opportunities for capital, but O&M it can be a trickier one. Third, multimodal master planning. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the term SERPA model, our travel demand model, and that's very much a car-oriented model, as well as transit. We really want this plan to have equal footing of all the modes. So we want to look at walking and bike scores, reviewing the transit potential and beefing up the transit analyses as part of the plan, and also putting an emphasis on an interim year. So the current LRTP has an interim year of 2025 and a horizon year of 2040. But the plan was mostly developed emphasizing that 2040 horizon and then kind of backing into the interim year. This plan, we want to put more of an emphasis on the interim year because that 10-year period, it's more realistic to have more reliable funding, revenue projections, and it's a little more manageable while recognizing 2045 will still be a horizon year and is required state and federal statute. The last two, this was discussed a few weeks ago at the road impact fee meeting. One of the comments brought up and discussed was a lot of the improvements with relation to the spending of road impact fees aren't projects that are included in the LRTP, such as intersection improvements. We want to better tie in our congestion management process, which is an annual process, which includes those types of projects, and better tie in with the LRTP process. And lastly, depending on where the conversation goes with the road impact fee, we still feel that the LRTP update is a good opportunity to review and consider the existing boundaries as they are today. I'm going to go really briefly through these two slides. These just highlight what you saw was in your backup material, the different components of the scope. You'll probably notice it was a little trimmer of a scope than you're used to seeing, and part of that is because we would like to take a task work order-based approach with this plan. I feel like that gives more adaptability. So instead of doing one large scope at once, and then as you get into the plan and different components need amendments, that can be a large process. So here, each of the key tasks would be issued as a task work order. This also gives more flexibility for some of the efforts to be done in-house. We have a great staff at the MPO. Not all of the work needs to be done with consultants. So it just provides a more flexible situation. I touched on the scenario planning. The second to last bullet, the modal travel demand forecasting. The reason we're using modal is, again, we want to put equal footing with looking at walking, biking, transit, and of course, automobile. On this slide, the few that I wanted to highlight, starting at the bottom, the strategic funding plan. What we're envisioning with this component of the LRTP is, so we'll have our cost feasible plan, those projects that are cost affordable. But there will also be a group of projects that we have as needs, but didn't make it into the cost feasible plan due to funding constraints. So as part of the strategic funding plan, we want to look at those projects that are not able to make it over to the cost feasible plan and strategize ways we can, you know, hopefully move those projects into the cost feasible plan, whether it be through additional funding opportunities, like I mentioned earlier, policy shifts that could modify how funds can be spent. And then last slide, like I mentioned, our deadline is October 2019. We would like to have the LRTP adopted prior to that in case there's, you know, you never know any issues that may arise towards the end. You don't want to work right up to that last month when the due date comes. So with that, you can also see a general schedule kind of laying out through the third quarter of 2019, which is our deadline.
Thank you, Kevin. Commissioner Valachet?
Thank you. Kevin, could you just speculate, purely speculate, on what the impact of self-driving cars might be on your long-range planning? So I was just thinking, I mean, if we were sitting here in 1880 doing transportation planning, we'd be thinking about, you know, how can we get more horses on the road? And,
exactly.
You know, how do we get more trolleys? And nobody envisioned the automobile. And, you know, whatever, I don't know what the impact would be. So what is the...
What did they say to you?
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Now.
Yeah. But, you know, there must be, I'm sure there's literature within your industry.
And it's a great question, and I wish it was easier to answer because I have looked at a lot of different studies and analyses, and there's, I feel like more is weighted towards as autonomous vehicles increase and human inefficiencies of driving are diminished, you will see extra capacity, but there are also those that make the argument that it could have negative impacts on transit, because if it's easier to have an autonomous vehicle right at your house, pick you up, drop you off, and then that car can move on to others, it could negatively impact transit and still have more vehicles on the road. So.
Yeah. You know, I went to that autonomous symposium last year in San Francisco, and that's the conclusion is that, you know, if you can order up your autonomous vehicle, there's going to be more congestion on the road because there'll be more cars. Transit won't be used, but there will be ultimate safety because no one will be running into each other.
Right.
But there will be more congestion. But we can the congestion will be handled because the cars can be much closer together because they're all connected and whatever. But transit will take the biggest hit because who's going to go somewhere and get on a transit vehicle when you can have a Tesla pull up and take you wherever you want?
So the bigger impact would actually be could be on parking.
Yeah.
Because then with all the
well, no, they will just go back. Actually, we won't even need any parking because they'll drop you off again. But George Webb's waving from the back.
I got to weigh in on this. I serve on a couple of national committees on this. And Commissioner, to answer your question from that perspective, because I just texted Nick, the real issue is not autonomy. The real issue is, will you change your driving from single occupant person, will you share a autonomous vehicle with somebody else? If you will share, that will reduce cars on the road. If you won't share, if you're going to need an autonomous Uber or whatever to get you around, then just what you were mentioning, we're figuring that there's going to be an increase. At least in the next 20, 25 years, there's not going to be the benefit, at least on our arterial system, because we're still going to have the kind of cars we drive today mixed in with those autonomous vehicles. So you're not going to be able to pack the cars in as closely as you might and gain that full benefit as far as that's concerned. So it is going to be an interesting thing. I was just talking with Rashid in the back saying this is going to be the most difficult long-range plan simply because of all these unknowns and the transformation that we're trying to do. So a set of assumptions that whatever is made here in 2018 or 19 or whatever may be out the window in 4 or 5 years as far as what and see how society does. So, but the interesting thing is, just from that standpoint about just trying to figure out people like you, would you go into the shared vehicle? The other thing is simply cost. Everything we're hearing is an autonomous vehicle is $250,000. That's why they're thinking more of the shared opportunity as far as trying to do that. So it's just one of those roll of the dice kind of things.
Thank you, George. Commissioner Weinroth.
Well, without devolving into an autonomous vehicle seminar, I think disruption is the word that they keep on using when this changeover occurs. The same disruption we saw from horse and carriage to, the motorized vehicle. You're going to have some autonomous, you're going to have some still people driving them, and that's going to be the problem. But I think subscriptions are going to be the answer because you only use your car 10% of the time. The rest of the time it's sitting outside waiting for us to finish this meeting so we can go to the next parking lot. And so I think that there's a great opportunity here, but there's going to be a lot of planning for that opportunity. I'm hoping that my grandchildren don't have to get a driver's license, that they'll just be able to be picked up, taken to school or taken wherever, and you won't have to worry about distracted driving or people who shouldn't be on the road anymore at 90 years old.
Yeah, the greatest benefit's going to be the safety. Mayor Pinto.
Yeah, I think the point of the question, I think, to from a planning agency standpoint, you should consider is a
planning agency. A transportation planning agency.
Well, any transportation planning agency. I think that the thought, and you put it up on your screen, that the underlying assumptions that are being made now, I think, is the first thing that should be reevaluated significantly. I think there are a whole new set of assumptions that you should be including in your scenario modeling and doing a lot of what if and just looking at through that process, see what begins to formulate as here's the direction that we really need to go. I think the problem we have now is there are a lot of assumptions being made based on today's way of transportation And more importantly, today's mindset of the of people, you know, believe it or not, it'll be emotional for some people to want to give up their car or ride share. That's an emotional issue. But from a planning standpoint, we can do scenarios that says, here's what the model needs to look like and begin to get buy-in. And here's where we're going. And then becomes a problem of, well, how do we get from where we are to there with the least amount of angst and problems? I think, though, one of the assumptions should be is I don't think this is a 25-year horizon issue. I think this is a 5 to 10-year horizon issue. And what will exacerbate the problem for us, if we make an assumption that this is further down the road, and maybe some of us sitting here saying, well, I won't have to deal with it. I won't be doing this, right? I don't know if that's a valid assumption. I think the assumption should be it's accelerated rather than it's elongated in terms of what's coming down the road. So just some thoughts.
Thank you. Mayor Burdick.
Thank you. You know, the autonomous cars are one issue, but are they looking at autonomous trolleys and buses? So that we can look at expanding.
Yeah, we went on it. Yeah,
the autonomous bus.
We went on an autonomous transit vehicle. It was a little red vehicle circulator that's had two bench seats for three, and it probably held 12 people, and it just programmed to go. And they're being used in Europe in a lot of airports.
In the Atlanta airport.
Yeah.
You've been on one terminal. Yeah. Autonomous.
They have those. Trains.
There's no one operating those. But this was on the road. We went on this one in Tampa that was on the road, and it was pre-programmed to stop. It was great. I mean, we're trying to get a pilot in Boca. So,
well,
get agency money.
We could have tried that on Southern.
Southern Boulevard. There you go.
Yeah.
Ding 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 ding.
So they're out there. They're in use in Europe.
In
Europe, they're using them at airports. They just circulate around there, you know, so you can get on, and they just program to get on, and they just.
Newark Airport has that. It's been in place for years at Newark.
So can we? Well, I guess we'll take it back to the commission and look at Comptran.
Yeah. No, I mean they're out there. They're coming. So, Commissioner Chard.
The difference, of course, is it won't be a fit for air. It could be throughout the transportation network. And I think we also have to think about autonomous trucks on I-95. And I heard something yesterday that the largest unemployment in the next 10 years is going to be truck drivers.
Yeah.
But I think even more transformational than autonomous cars is drones. And I'm not sure that's been considered at all. And that's also right around the corner. I think Amazon is very close to being able to do delivery by drones. And what that really does is make transportation three-dimensional rather than two-dimensional. So if you can call up an autonomous drone to take you to 32 East Restaurant in Delray, you don't need to use the roads. You don't need to use parking.
You mean a passenger drone?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, because also at this conference, they had those little drone robots that drive up and down the sidewalk and deliver packages to homes.
Yeah. So, I believe that, if we're talking about 2040 timeframe, we really have to think about drones.
Okay. All right. That's disruptive technology for certain. So, okay.
Yeah. We need to change our name again.
Yeah, our name's too old. So.
Autonomous transportation.
All right. Yeah, we could be here all day talking about this. Well, thank you. Any further questions about the LRTP? Thank you, Kevin. Good job. All right. Nick, regional commuter challenge update.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm going to bring up Valerie Nielsen just to give you a highlight of the commuter challenge that was conducted throughout the region for the month of May.
Hi, Valerie.
Hello. So I'm presenting on behalf of South Florida Commuter Services just a high-level recap. This challenge happened last month. DOT, through South Florida Commuter Services and its transportation partners, challenged commuters in the region across six counties from Monroe all the way to St. Lucie to take alternative modes of transportation to and from work. So this year there was an app where people could tap in and tap out when they were taking alternative mode, and it would track your miles commuted and your pounds of CO2 saved. And the challenge was promoted through transportation partners, transit agencies, municipalities, employers, websites, email blasts, and even transportation days. So the Palm Beach MPO had a Transit Tuesday where staff took transit to work. And the different partners were featured on the website for the challenge. So on the bottom right, you see our MPO featured there. So some of the partners that were also involved and were promoted this were the Palm Beach Zoo, Whole Foods, Palmtran, City of West Palm Beach, FPL, and on the news. So Commissioner Abrams was featured during the challenge taking Tri-Rail.
It must have been hard to catch him doing
next
that.
Next year I'm going to do a drone.
So, how many takes was that?
In total, over 200 companies and municipalities participated and promoted the challenge. Here are a few of the ones that were here in Palm Beach County promoting this. And in overall, there was over 6,600 commuters that participated in our region, about 1,000 from within Palm Beach County. And actually, 951 commuters were traveling into Palm Beach County from other places. So overall, over 33,500 trips were logged using alternative modes of transportation to work. And over 362,000 pounds of CO2 were saved during the month. So this is just that was just a high-level recap. The next steps is that they're going to send out a survey to all the participants, and they're going to provide a comprehensive report looking at origin, destination, mode use, how long people were traveling, the times. So that image on the right was just a snapshot they gave us and of Miami-Dade. So looking forward to that, and then we'll meet and see how we can do it better next year. And also they're thinking about doing a challenge specific for students. So that's just the high-level recap. If you have any specific questions, you can reach out to them, and we look forward to having more details soon.
Great. Thanks, Valerie. Very good. Commissioner Abrams.
Madam Chairman, and that is the survey is a little difficult for people. They need to take that back. They need to simplify the survey. It gets a little involved, and then people give up on doing it.
Sure. We can provide that feedback to them. This will be separate than the household travel survey, but it might just be a couple questions that those that participate get,
The household is almost impossible because you have to start answering for your spouse.
Couldn't do it. I just started.
Right. Yeah.
And then right. That's it. It's taking too much of my time. I stopped.
Right, correct. That was the same reaction.
Okay. Mayor Burdick, is your card up?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Sorry.
Any further comments or questions on commuter challenge? Thanks, Valerie. That's exciting. Partner agency updates. Nick?
Madam Chair, I am going to bring up Clinton Forbes from Palmtran. He has an important introduction to make to the board this morning.
Welcome, Clinton.
Madam Chair and members of the TPA. I'm pleased to announce a new member of our executive team at Palmtran, Mr. Hollett Chamoot. Hollett, if you could come up, please. Hollett is a seasoned transit planning professional in operations. He more than 22 years in the public and private sector. Hollett and I worked together in Jacksonville, the Jacksonville Transportation Authority. Separately, during separate stints, we also served at the Central Ohio Transit Authority in Columbus, Ohio. Mr. Chamoot's most recent stint, was in Saudi Arabia, where he was responsible for designing the first ever bus system in Mecca. And I believe that bus system is taking off now. And after that project was done, we were able to attract him to Palm Beach County. Mr. Chamoot will be the liaison for Palmtran at the MPO and its subcommittees. He holds two master's degrees in city regional planning and civil transportation engineering and a bachelor's degree in architecture, both from the Ohio State University, and many transportation planning certifications. So I just want to introduce Mr. Chamoot to you and have you join me in welcoming him to Palm Beach County.
Absolutely. Welcome. Yeah. Yeah, please tell us how are we like Mecca?
Was it autonomous? We want to know if Mecca was autonomous.
No, that's up to you. That's for sure. Thank you, Clinton, for the introduction. It's a pleasure to be here and be working in Palm Beach. I've had so far the federal working with Nick and Valerie. I certainly look forward to working you know, with the rest of you and to get to know you as well and serve on each county.
Wonderful. Well, welcome. We're thrilled to have you, and we look forward to our partnership. Thank you. Thank you, Clinton. Always a pleasure. Mr. Weinroth.
Mr. Forbes, I just want to let you know that we just learned that tomorrow is Dump the Pump Day, and people are supposed to be using pump. Today is Pump
Day?
Oh, we're going to have to walk home because I need a bus. Anyway, great to see you.
Very good. We'll now move to correspondence. Nick, there's just a couple letters in here. Any comments on those?
Madam Chair, just for the board's awareness, this is a follow-up item. The discussion that happened last meeting regarding the Strategic Intermodal System Unfunded Needs Plan, there was some discussion regarding the multimodal component of the projects in the overall list and the highway projects. And so we summarized that discussion for the DOT so that they would be aware of the conversations that we're having. And we did get a letter of response from the DOT secretary and wanted to make sure you saw both of those things.
A comment on that?
Yes, Commissioner McKinley.
Just a comment on that because the one of the subject matters in both of those pieces of correspondence was the potential to do a rail corridor up U.S. 27 from Miami into the Glades area. And we had a meeting earlier this week with the South Florida Regional Planning Council, Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council, the Central Florida Regional Planning Council, and we'll be reaching out to the Southwest Florida RPC about bringing back an item for future consideration, both at the MPOs and the various county and city commissions in that area in support of doing a rail corridor project. So I think everybody at the table earlier this week down in Broward County recognized that that is something that's going to be needed. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Michael Busha is doing a presentation for the MPOAC, the state MPO, in July on the rail, the 27 rail corridor. And he's requested CEFTEC as well in the next couple of months. So great. Thank you. So that will move us to administrative items. May's public involvement activity report.
Madam Chair, I'm going to actually take this as an opportunity to make a remark that I omitted in my report earlier. I wanted to recognize the important contributions of one of our MPO staff members. Annie Delgado is actually leaving us this week. She has been hired by none other than the city of Boca Raton. She is a Boca Raton resident, and we're excited for her quality of life improvement because she will no longer be traveling the 30 to 40 minutes each way to reach her place of work. But we are sad to lose her. Her contributions to the MPO have been substantial, and we really appreciate her desire to serve our community in a different way going forward. Just by way of mentioning it, Annie is was the point person for our Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board, the effort of the MPO to oversee the state grant to PalmTran to provide transportation disadvantaged, that door-to-door paratransit service not immediately adjacent to their PalmTran fixed route corridor. So we'll be looking for a planner to replace her in that capacity, and we just wanted to acknowledge and appreciate her for her contributions.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Great. Public involvement activity report? No, nothing to say for that. Okay, we'll take us to members' comments. What member has a comment to share with the good?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, if there's no further discussion, our next meeting will be July 20th. And as Nick said, it's going to be a long meeting since we are canceling our August meeting. So be prepared. Clear your calendars to be here for several hours. So there's no further business to come before the MPO. We're adjourned at 10:57. Thank you all so much.